Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So before we get into Matthew's Gospel here for the reading for today, I just want to remember or consider the passage that came before this one. Jesus fed the 5,000, and then again he's going to feed 4,000. So we got this picture of food going on. He's going to feed people twice, thousands of them. And the disciples are going to respond the same exact way. Lord, there's no way we can feed all these people. So right after the feeding of the 5,000, you got a confrontation between Jesus and the Pharisees. The Pharisees are going to start becoming vocal enemies. They're going to start testing Jesus. They're going to start trying to lead him into ways that he'll be trapped and things like that. So he's starting to experience some hostility. And the Pharisees come up to Jesus and they say, "Why don't your disciples wash as according to the custom?" Right? Wash before you eat. So here's this picture of food coming up again. And Jesus replies and he answers their question with a question, right? Good old Jesus. And he nails them to the wall with some of their own traditions that aren't biblical. So the Pharisees, these are the guys that know God's word. They have it memorized. They are trained in it. They live it out every single day. I mean, they know God's word. They are leaders. They're well respected in the community. And yet, when they talk to Jesus, you see just how ignorant they are. They don't get it. So now, as we move into Matthew's gospel, we have something that's setting us up for this woman. And Matthew says she's a Canaanite woman. So Jesus had withdrew from the region of the region of Tyre and Sidon. So he's going to kind of the northwest area of Israel, close to the shore. And most of the people living there, many of the people living there, are not Jews. They are not Jews. And here comes this Canaanite woman. And in those days even, this was an ancient word to be a Canaanite. Even back then. So as Joshua is leading the people of God into Israel, we're going back in time. We're going back in history to when the people are being brought into the promised land. What did God say about these Canaanites? He told the Israelites, wipe them out. Husbands, wives, children. Because these people will be your enemies. They will bring you to chase after false gods and idols. They will corrupt you. I gave them 400 years to repent, and they didn't. So these people, these Canaanites, are enemies. And they're living right next door. I don't know if we have something similar. I'm sure we could think of a number of things that we see in the news, but communists in the 80s, 60s, 70s, they were the enemy, right? Nazis, the enemy. And yet this enemy comes to Jesus. She approaches him. And I guess a quick word on being a woman in those days. Most of the time, you couldn't testify in court. There were some unusual cases, but for the most part, you didn't. Women didn't have a proper witness in court because they were women. I'm not reading into that, okay? Just understand. Kelly gave me a look. And so, she's got everything stacked against her. Everything. She lives far from Jerusalem. She's not a part of the people of God. She's a Canaanite, an enemy of God, and she's a woman. All of these things, this is someone who should not be approaching Jesus, and yet that's exactly what she does. And what does she call him? Lord, Son of David. What does it mean to be the Son of David? It means that you are the King. You are a part of that lineage. And Jesus is the heir to the throne, Son of David. A Canaanite woman, an enemy of God, not supposed to be a part of the people of God, and yet, of all the people, she calls him Lord, Son of David. She picked this up somewhere. She heard about Jesus somewhere. She heard about the Son of David. The Word of God worked on her. And now remember, we go back to the Pharisees. These are men, people in positions of authority, who have the Word of God, and they reject him. We see a deep and stark contrast between this woman and the Pharisees. And that gives us a picture of Jesus. We'll see that right now. So the disciples say to Jesus, well, Jesus doesn't say anything. This woman comes, says, my daughter has this demon. She's possessed. Lord, have mercy. And we said this. We sang this earlier in the service. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Kyrie eleison. This is in Latin. Kyrie, Lord, eleison, have mercy. She says this to Jesus, and he doesn't say a word. Who speaks first? The disciples. And they say, Lord, send her away. She's just bothering us. This bee, this little fly. Buzzing around, send her away, Lord. And there's a couple of things that they could have said. Send her away and don't help her, or send her away, just help her, give her what she wants, and let her go away. She's really bothering us. And it almost seems like Jesus listens to his disciples and takes their tact, right? I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. It's almost like he's saying, all right, disciples, let's see how this turns out. And she says, Lord, help me. And then he says, it's not right to take the children's bread, right? The children are the children of God, the people of Israel, to take the bread and throw it to the dogs, because then the children will starve, right? And she says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Now, dogs in those days, we're not treated the same way, for the most part, that they are in ours. You know, we don't have Paris Hilton carrying around a dog in her purse type of a thing back then. This is not happening. These, you know, have you been to Tijuana? And you see these dogs wandering around? You ever see that? These mangies, you know, skinny dogs. That's the picture that we see when we think of dogs eating trash and garbage, scavenging, eating scraps, whatever they can. And historically, the Jews called the Gentiles dogs. They're dogs. And so this woman says to Jesus, I will be a dog. If it means even getting crumbs from you. Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. What an amazing moment we see in Jesus' ministry. Because here is a woman who does not, should not, not for all intents and purposes, should not be the one who is saying this to Jesus. It should be the Jews, those people in Jerusalem, anybody really Jesus runs into. And yet it's this outsider, this person living on the fringe. She trusts in Jesus, and right then, her daughter's healed because she has faith. Growing up in the United States, where Christianity, I mean, I think I heard there's 37 churches in Yucaipa. 37 churches. We're kind of used to Christianity being around quite a bit. And we don't often consider ourselves people on the fringe. At least, I've never really thought of myself that way, for the most part. And yet we've all been there, haven't we? I mean, at some point in our lives, we have been there. The person that didn't belong. The person who has had this weight on their shoulders of being on the outside. Maybe having God not answer their prayers. Being this person who has nowhere else to go. Just like this woman. Is it worth it to us to be a dog? Fine, if I wanted to be a dog, I guess I'll be, I don't know what I would be, a bull mastiff or something. Well-fed, drooling on everything. But would I be this mangy, garbage-eating dog? This woman reveals it's better to be a dog in the kingdom of God than to be a king elsewhere. Better to be a dog in the kingdom of God than to be a king elsewhere. And so we come to the point in our lives where we are humbled by God's word, changed, just like this woman. Because we're born enemies of God. This is not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be God's enemies, and yet somehow, through His Word and by His promises, you have been changed. You are no longer God's enemy. You are changed. And the way that we understand that is we are humbled. We are moved to the point where we recognize we're not in control. We are on the fringe. We can't do it anymore. I need help. We have a Savior who knows exactly what that's like. When He goes to that cross, this cross outside the city, up there for everyone to see as He dies. And on his left and on his right, a couple of criminals. Jesus Christ lowered Himself to the lowest point anybody could ever be for you. He did it for you. To tell you, I love you. Tell you, you are forgiven. We might be perceived as, I guess, dogs looking for scraps. But I'd rather be a dog in the kingdom of God than a king elsewhere. We receive morsels from the altar where we taste forgiveness and eternity. We are changed. We are humbled. And as we live these changed lives, we also look outward, because there are people out there who need this word. They need to hear this word. There are babies that are being aborted. They have no say. We need to be their voice. There are people who get pushed to the edges of the healthcare system, waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. We're thrown into hospice because we just don't know what else to do. And they're humbled, and they're on the fringe, and they need to hear this word. And we know who these people are. We know them. But we can share this word because what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Because He took people like us, enemies of God. He took something that is a dog and makes it clean and holy and perfect in the Father's eyes. This day, you are forgiven. This day, you are changed by Christ. Just like this woman, from being on the fringes to being in God's kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.